This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Chulin, tape number 4. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key kalalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Rav Moshe Nosson ben Rav Yosef Leder, Zecherno Livracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding in Masechta Chulin, in the middle of Perek Gid Hanosha, with the Gemara on Daf Tzadik Hei Omer Alf. And Rav says, meat, which was in one place, and then we lost sight of the meat, this meat is Osir. This is referred to as Basar Shenis'alem Min Ha'ayin. The reason that it's Osir is because where Chayshish a guy came along and switched the Kasher meat with Treifa meat. But if the meat was sealed or it was protected, then it's Mutter. Taisus adds that even in a town where most of the Shechita is Kasher, we still have to be machmer when it comes to basar shenisalam in ayin, since a guy could switch it. The Gemara says if we have 10 meat stores in a particular city, 9 of the stores sell kosher meat, 1 sells treifa meat, and a person bought meat from one of the stores, but he couldn't remember from which one. So normally, in the pasuk of acharei rabim lahatais, we would go after Rav, since 9 of the stores are kosher, and 1 of the stores is treif. Rav, 9 out of 10, are kosher, which means the odds are, substantially, that he bought it from the kashrut store. But here we have an exception. Since the stores are kavua, they're set permanently in a particular place, we say that we don't go after Rav, but rather kol kavua kemechtza al mechtza domi. Anytime you have a situation of kavua, it becomes like 50% and 50%, and now you don't have Rav anymore. And we don't go after Rav, and the meat is usser. If, however, we have the same situation, that there are 9 meat stores, 10 meat stores in a city, 9 are kashrut and 1 is treif, but instead of the fact that he bought it from a kavua place, we simply found a piece of meat in the street. So then we say that it's mutter, because here we say kol deparish meruba parish. Since the meat is now parish, it went away from the stores, and the suffix is around that piece of meat which left the stores, it was parish from the stores. In that case, we do go after Rav, because 9 of the stores are kosher, 1 is treif, we could go after Rav, and therefore the meat would be mutter, kol deparish meruba parish. We assume that it went from the Rav, which are the 9 kashura stores. Taisus points out that these halachas of kol kevua kemechza al mechzadami and kol deparish meruba parish should not be confused with the halacha of bitl barayv, where we do say acharei rabin lahatais, since here a mixture took place. We don't know which pieces are kasher and which pieces are treif. So we say the treif is bitl barayv. But here we know meat of a treif a shop is treif, meat of a kasher shop is kasher. We have 1 piece of meat, so you can't say batel barayv, since this piece of meat is either 100% kosher or 100% treif, depending on where it came from. The Gemara says if we find raw meat, we look to see if rav of the sheikhtim in this particular city are Jewish. If we find cooked meat, then for the rav, we look to see if rav of the meat eaters of the particular city are Yehudim. The Paiskim have a machlekes whether when we talk about Rav, whether Rav is determined by the number of butcher stores in the city, regardless of how much each store sells, or whether the size of the stores and the amount of meat they sell are the determining factor. In other words, there are going to be some very large meat stores and some smaller meat stores. So what happens in a situation where you have 9 kashrut meat stores but 1 treifa store? The kashrut stores, however, only sell $25,000 worth of meat each during the year, but the 1 treifa store, which is a tremendous superstore, sells $1 million worth of meat. So where's the rav? Is the rav in the fact that $1 million of meat is sold in one store versus only $200,000 worth of meat in all the other 9 stores together, and therefore the rav is the treifa store? Or since 9 stores sell kashera meat, 9 out of 10 is rav. The Chai Adam in Binas Adam Ois Tezayin says that the determining factor is the amount of meat in the stores, not the number of stores. If the non-kosher stores are very large, and they're selling the majority of the meat in the town. Like you have a big Costco or a major superstore like a Walmart or a Pathmark or whatever in the town, and that's selling rave of the meat. So that's how you look at it. And therefore, since that store is selling rave of the meat in the town, rave would say that it's treif. The Chavistas, however, disagrees. The Chavistas is in Simen Kuf Yud, Sifkat and Gimel, and says that the main thing is the number of meat stores, not actually the quantity of meat. So therefore, since 9 out of the 10 stores in the city would sell meat are kosher stores, Rav would say that the meat is kosher. Finally, the Gemara says it's okay to deduce an omen from something that happens. For example, if a boat lands right in front of a person, and the person says, it must be a simen that something good is in these boats for me. In fact, Shmuel used to open up Chumashim, and if he found a good pasuk, he would say, that's a good omen, that's a good simen for me. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that if after building a new house, marrying or having a child, one has a successful business gain, this is a good simen. Others say you need a chazaka of 3 good gains in order for that to be considered a good simen. Daf Tzadik Vav. Rabbi Huna said that if meat was left alone, basar shen is alam min ayin, even if a person has no simen on the meat to ensure recognition, it can still be mutter if he recognizes it by sight. In general, this is called tvias ayin. Or if he recognizes a voice, tvias eina dekala. Since otherwise, how can a person live with his wife at night if he can't see or hear her? It could be a different woman. So we say either tvias ayin, he recognizes by general sight, or tvias eina dekala, he recognizes through some kind of through her voice, and through that he knows that that's his wife. Rava, in support of the fact that one may rely on tvias ayin as a means of valid identification, points out that a person who is blind would be usher to live with his wife if not for the fact that he may rely on tvias eina dekala, recognition of her voice, to verify that she indeed is his wife and not someone else. Kudras al-Adaf brings the Rimagash in the Shailos and Shuvas Rimagash, which was brought in the Achiezer Chela Gimel, Simen Tazvav, as proof that tvias eina dekala is halachically an acceptable means of identification, and rules that if witnesses identify a defendant through voice recognition rather than sight, their edus is considered acceptable in court. For example, if Edim testify that they overheard Reuven without seeing him admit that he owes money to Shimon, their edus is accepted even though they can only identify Reuven as the borrower through tvias eina dekala, the sound of his voice. The Ksais HaChayshin, Simen Pei Aleph, Sifkat Yud Gimel, disagrees and proves from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that voice recognition is not always a valid means of identification. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin, Amar Aleph, indicates that we cannot prosecute a person who attempts to persuade others to commit Avodah Zarah, which of course is a capital offense, on the basis of voice recognition. If the witnesses claim to have overheard this person attempting to persuade a fellow Jew to commit idolatry, but they did not see him at that time, he is not prosecuted because voice recognition is not considered positive identification. The Ktzais therefore rules that Tfias Eina Dekala is valid only in cases of Isser, but not in cases involving Mumin, or in capital cases. The Pri Chadash, which is brought in the Ktzais, suggests that the Gemara in Sanhedrin is an exception and does not disprove the validity of Tfias Eina Dekala. In the case of an accused Mesis, Bezdin does not rely on voice recognition because they must consider the possibility that this person deliberately altered his voice. It's possible that this person impersonated someone else in order to hide his identity, in order to escape being killed, and therefore in order to incriminate this person, Edim must have sight recognition. However, in all other cases, including monetary judgment, Tzvias Eina Dekala is an acceptable form of identification. The Mishnah. When one removes a Gid Hanasha, he must remove it completely, very deep. Rabbi Yehuda says he just has to remove the top part. If a person eats a kazayas, he gets malchus. But if he eats less than a kazayas, there is no malchus, but there's still an isser. The Gemara, Shmuel says, the Torah only assered the part of the Gid Hanasha that is on the thigh bone, al kaf hayarech, not anything that is further inside. The next Mishnah, as background. The next few blat constitute many of the important halachas of Taruvus Isser Veheter, many of which are brought in Chelek Aleph of Yeredeya. And the Mishnah says, a thigh of an animal which was cooked together with its Gid Hanasha, if there is enough Gid Hanasha to give a taste of the Gid to the Yerech, to the thigh, this is referred to as Nisen Tam, so the entire thigh is Aser. The question is, how do we actually evaluate if there is enough Gid to inject taste into the Yerech? Since really, you can't taste test this mixture, because if there is a Nisen Tam, then you'd be eating a taruba sisser. So how is it that you could test it? The Mishnah says we compare it to the taste of basar in lefes, which is a vegetable, a turnip. The shear of nice and tam is shishim, which means if there is at least 60 parts heter to one part iser, so we say the davar ha'asar is not nice and tam, and therefore the davar ha'asar is batal b'shishim. If there is more than 1/60 of iser, then the iser is not batal b'shishim, and the heter item becomes asar as well. Taisvus adds that to calculate the shishim of heter, you can use not only the yerech itself, but even the pot and all other things in the pot. If a person cooked a gid hanasha with other gidin, if he recognizes the gid taste from the others, so the iser is batal. But if it's not recognizable, then everything is asur, because this is min b'mina. A piece of nevela, or a piece of dog tame, if it's cooked with pieces of heter, if he can recognize the bad item, then the iser will depend on isin tam, on asinus tam. If it's more than 1/60, if the iser is more than 1/60, then this entire mixture is asur. But if it's less than 1/60, we say that it's batal b'shishim, and therefore it's mutter. If a person can't recognize it at all, then it's asur. The Gemara. Our Mishnah that says that something can asur b'naisen tam, that's only if the yerech and the gid were cooked together. But if they were roasted, the taste of the gid does not penetrate the kashra meat, and one can eat the kashra meat until the place of the gid anasha. Rashi says the place of the gid hanasha is until the shear of kedei netila, a finger width next to the gid. Taisva says the shear is kedei klipa, which is a very thin layer. Daf Tzadik Zayin. By chelev, by fat of the animal, even by tzli, we say that it is osur, since chelev is very fatty, and it spreads much more than regular things. It's mefafea. Unless the animal is very thin, the animal is kochosh, so then its chelev is not really fatty, and it can be batal v'shishim. The Ramah in Simin Kuf Hei, Sif Hei, says that since today we are not bekiyim on the differences between a davar shamein and a davar kochosh, something which is fat or something which is thinner, we must be machmer if there's any fatty substances. The Gemara says once a non-kosher fish, which is referred to as kilchus bi'ilfus, was cooked in a pot of kosher meat in the town of Ma'ain, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. He said, let a non-Jewish cook taste it, and tell us if he can taste the taste of the non-kosher fish. If he can't taste it, then we can be matur the meat, since the fish is not nice and tam. We should point out that in Siman Kufta Zayin Halacha Beis, the shaila of eating fish and meat together is discussed because of the sakana that's involved in eating the two together. The Taz brings a machlekes achreinim, that if fish is cooked with meat, and there is less than shishim, the question is, are we machmer anyways, because chamira sakanta me'isura, that we say that sakana, we have to be more machmer when there's a situation of sakana than there's a situation of iser. So some want to bring a raya from the fact that we let an akum eat it, that there can't really be a sakana if only a small amount of fish was in the pot. This is why, for example, on Shabbos, we don't eat fish and meat together with the same fork. It's also why certain products which contain fish, like Worcestershire sauce, for example, are shilas on whether you could put them on meat, because here you're dealing with sakana. It's fish and meat together, which is why we paskin that if it's not batal b'shishim, then Worcestershire sauce cannot be put on meat. The Rishayim all ask, how can we believe the report of an akum? He has no nemanus as an eid echad. Rashi says the heter is because of mesiach lefitumai. We don't tell the guy that we're relying on his opinion to generate a psach halacha. We just ask him stam, off the cuff, in a very casual setting, if he can taste the taste of the fish inside the meat. So therefore, under that circumstance, he's believed, because he has no reason to lie. Rashi, however, says that if the Akum figures out that the real reason for them asking him is because they want to be able to create a psach halacha, in that case, we cannot rely on his evaluation, because then the guy is suspected of deliberately altering the facts in order to deceive us. Taisvus says that although a normal akum is suspected of lying, a person who is a professional chef is not, because a professional chef doesn't want to say something wrong because it might damage his reputation. So in that case, of a professional chef, we can be more makel. The Gemara says a pot which has meat that was cooked inside of it should not be used to cook milk, since the pot is bailea, it absorbs taste from the meat, and when you cook the milk, the pot will be pilot, it'll push out the tam, the taste of the meat, into the milk, and will have a tam of basa b'chalav. But if a person did cook meat in a fleishiga pot, then it depends if there's nice and tam or not. A similar halacha is if you cook truma in a pot, you shouldn't cook chulin in the same pot. The Gemara says two items which are salted or soaked together. This is exactly the same type of a situation, we say lahalacha, as two items which are cooked together. Kavush, something which is pickled or soaked, harehu kumavushal. It's like the same process in terms of how the two interact as if two things were cooked together. So if one is aser, and it isn't batal b'shishim, the permitted item also becomes aser. Rashi says that kavush, something which is soaked, means that it was with a salt water, vinegar, or a sharp liquid. Other Rishayim hold, we paskin like this in Siman Kuf Hey, that if one soaks Isser v'Heter together for 24 hours, this is also called Kavish, and the Isser can Aser the Kashira meat. Kavish, Harehu, Kimavushal. Reb Chanina says to calculate Shishim, we can include the pot itself and all Kashira sauce together with the Heter item to see if we have Shishim Keneged the Isser. Others say that we cannot include the pot, only the Blias in the pot. If the kachal, the udder of an animal, contains milk, and it was cooked together with other meat before removing the milk from the kachal, if there is shishim, then the milk is batal b'shishim, but the kachal itself remains aser as basar b'chalav. Otherwise, it cannot be eaten, and the volume of the kachal itself counts as part of the shishim to be mevatal the chalav, ukechal min haminyan. And the kachal, since the kachal itself is aser, it becomes like a nevela, and if itself falls into other meat, it can aser that meat as well. Daf Tzadik Ches. Kosher eggs cooked with non-kosher eggs. If there is at least shishim, 60 times kosher, versus the non-kosher is batal b'shishim, and the eggs are mutter. If it's less than shishim, then they're treif. There was a case where a half of a kezayis of chelev fell into a pot which was cooking meat. So Mar Bereb Ashi wanted to be materit if there was at least 30 half kezesim of meat versus the chelev. He wanted to be mekel because the half kezayis is a chatzishir. But Rav Ashi said to him, you still need a 60, since there is an iser derabanan. And in fact, Rav Yechanan said, it's even an iser deraisa, that chatzishir is aser min haTorah. Bar Kapara said an important rule, kol isurim sheva Torah b'shishim. If there is 60 times as much heter as there is iser, we say that the taste of the iser is batal b'shishim, and the item is mutter. If the taste of the iser is more than 1/60, we say that the taste of the iser penetrates the heter. The iser is not batal, and the heter item becomes tainted, and therefore it's aser. Kutsal Daf quotes Rashi Divrei Amaschil B'Samach, who states that a forbidden ingredient is batal b'shishim only if its flavor is not detectable in the mixture. However, if a guy tastes the soup and claims that he tastes the non-kosher gravy, the mixture is forbidden no matter how small a percentage of the gravy is, because we say tam ki'ikar. Once you could taste it, then shishim doesn't really play a role. Also says Rashi, when the Gemara speaks of permitting a mixture on the basis of a taste test, the Gemara is discussing a case in which the prohibited matter comprises only 1/60 or less of the mixture. According to Rashi, two factors are necessary for bittul to occur. Number one, there must be shishim, 60 times as much permitted substance as there is prohibited substance. And number two, a guy, when available, must taste it and verify that the prohibited ingredient is not detectable. The Rush in Siman Chof Tes disagrees, he's more makel, and maintains that the presence of either one of these two factors is sufficient to permit the mixture. The Rush notes that the Gemara, on the top of Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Beis, indicates that whenever a taster verifies that there is no prohibited flavor in the mixture is mutter regardless of the proportion of the ingredients in the mixture. The implication of the Gemara is that only when there is no taster available is it necessary to measure the ratio of the ingredients and ascertain if there is shishim or not of permitted ingredients. Similarly, notes the Rush, when the Gemara here says that the forbidden substance is batal b'shishim, the implication is that whenever there is 60 times as much permitted substance in the mixture, we automatically assume that there is no prohibited flavor in the mixture, and there is no need to verify it through tasting. And this is, in fact, how we paskin. The Gemara says that the halacha of batal b'shishim, of bittul b'shishim, is learned from Bamidbar Perek Vav, from the Zraya b'shela, the lower leg portion of the El Nazir, which is given to the Kain, which is Asur Lazarim, and even though it's cooked with the rest of the Shlamim, we say that it's batal, and the rest of the animal is mutter. Some say for this the shear of bittul isn't shishim, but rather 100, mea. Most Rishonim say that if we have min b'she'ena mina, two different types of things that get mixed together, for example, meat and potatoes, if there is less than shishim of the iser versus the heter, we say that the iser is batal b'shishim. If there's more than shishim, we say the taste of the iser penetrates the heter. This is referred to, as you mentioned, tam ke'iker, and the heter becomes aser with an iser midaraisa. If, however, it is two items of min b'minai, it's meat inside of meat, since the taste of the iser is not discernible, it's the same item, midaraisa, there's no iser. We can't say tam ke'iker, since it's the same food, so it's really batal b'raif. Midaraisa, there's no iker, there's no iser, but midarabanan, we say that you still need shishim because of exera. Min b'minai atu b'she'ena minai. The Baal Hamor Psachim says, even min b'minai carries an iser midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda learns that min b'minai can never become batal if an iser falls into a heter, even if there's 1,000 times as much heter as there is iser. He learns this in the Pasuk regarding the mixture of the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSayer in Vayikra Tazayin. Rava says we have an iser of tam ke'ikra, so by kachim, if you have a slight taste of the iser, it asers the thing which is mutter. But by chulin, we can be more makel by tam ke'ikra, and it's only aser mir rabbanan, according to Rashi. But Taisus and the Rush argue and say that by chulim, tam ke'ikra is aser mir araisa by min b'she'ena mina. Daf Tzadik Tes. Normally, whenever iser and heter are joined together, and the iser therefore has to be cut from the heter, so the makam chatach, the place of the cutting, becomes part of the iser. But here we are matirit by the Zeraya B'Sheila. This is because of a heter haba michlal iser brought as a gzeres hakasif. Bar Kapara said the measurement of being matir, a heter mixed with iser, is bittel b'mea. It's bittel in 100. But the Rishonim say that the sheer bittel tam of bittel b'mea is only by truma, that we say it has to be bittel in 100. By other things, shishim, it has to be at least 1/60. If something is very concentrated, for example, fish broth, which is referred to as tzir, since it gives us such a strong taste, it is bittel not 1 in 100 or 1 in 60, but in masayim. It's bittel only if there is no more than 1/200. We paskin that by kol isurim shabbatayra, bittel is b'shishim. But by min b'she'ena minai, if there is less than 1/60, we assume that the taste of the iser can be felt in the heter, and because of tam ke'iker, the permitted item becomes aser. According to Rashi, this is an iser midrabanan. According to Taisvis and the Rush, tam ke'iker is aser minatara. The nafkamin would be if there's a suffix if we have shishim or not. This is brought in Yerodea Simin Tzadik Ches. If you hold it's midaraisa, then suffix deraisa l'chumra. Therefore it's aser. If you hold it's midrabanan, then suffix derabanan is l'hakel, and therefore it would be mutter. By min bin minai, Rashi holds that it's not bottle at all. But Taisvis on the Tzadik Zayin Amar Aleph disagrees and says the halacha is like the chachamim, that min bin minai can be bottle, minatayra, since there is no distinct taste, it's bottle berayif, but midrabanan we require shishim to be materit. In a suffix we can be makel, since suffix derabanan is l'hakel. Finally, the Mishnah had said that if a gid hanasha is cooked with the rest of the thigh, if there is no shishim versus the gid, it is usur because yesh begidin b'naisin tam. The gid is capable of imparting a tam into the thigh. The Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shmuel, who holds ein begidin b'naisin tam. The gid cannot impart a flavor on other meat when cooked. The Gemara paskins l'hokel ein begidin b'naisin tam. Dafkuf. By tam we say batal b'shishim when we're dealing with wet meat or liquids. This is referred to as lach belach. But if we have separate pieces of meat on the table, for example, and the pieces of meat get mixed up, so these are dry pieces of meat, yavesh b'yavesh, in this case we can say that something can be batal b'raif. But we don't say this if the iser is a beria, if it's a separate chasheva entity. If the iser is a chasheva piece of meat, which is customary to count on its own, darka limanes, according to Rav Meir, or we don't say this kula if it's a chaticha haro'uya lehiskabed, a chasheva piece of meat which would be served to prominent guests. Taisvah says that if something is not a beria, or isn't ru'uya lehiskabed, then if it's yavesh b'yavesh, we do not need shishim, and the permitted item can be mutter if it's batal b'raif. Taisvah adds that when one piece of non-kosher meat is mixed with two pieces of similar-looking pieces of kosher meat, and the non-kosher meat is batal, the same person, however, should not eat all three pieces of meat, because then it would be certain that he would be eating at least one piece of non-kosher meat. Rather, the pieces should be eaten by different people so that each person could assume that he is eating one of the kosher pieces of meat. The Rajba argues and says that all of them are allowed to be eaten by one person. However, they shouldn't all be eaten at the same time or cooked together in one pot. The Rush is even more makel and says that a person can eat all three pieces at the same time. The Gemara brings Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who said to his Talmidim that you can use everything in the pot, including the pot, to be mevatel the iser that fell in, and even the pieces of meat, which are min b'minai, can be mitzaref to be mevatel the iser. This argues with the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that min b'minai is leibatel. The Gemara says once a piece of meat becomes usser through cooking, we say chaticha atzma nasis nevela. This piece of meat becomes an usser piece of meat in of itself, and it can then turn around and asser other chatichas if they're added to the pot, as in min b'minai. Rabbeinu Tam says this would mean that once a drop of milk falls onto a piece of meat and there was no shishim, this piece of meat becomes usser. Now, to be mevatel the iser, you would need 60 times this full piece of meat in order for the new meat not to become usser, since the first piece of meat was already chaticha atzma nasis nevela. The Mishnah. The iser of gid hanasha only applies to a behema tahira, not to a behema tamea. Rabbi Yehuda says even applies to a behema tamea. The Gemara. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, by a behema tamea you have two isurim, one for the behema tamea and one for gid hanasha. So we would think that he holds yesh iser chal al iser, because it's an iser chomer, it's possible to have one iser on top of the other. But the chachamim say he's only chayev for one iser. Since we say ein iser chal al iser, once you have one iser, you can't have a second one on top of it. Daf Kuf Alef. We learn the iser of gid hanasha from the pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Beis al kein la yechlu bnei Yisrael as gid hanasha by Yaakov Avinu. And even though the chachamim hold ein iser chal al iser, but if one eats the gid of an oila or the gid of a shor haniska, which is both of these are aser bahana, then there will be a double chiyuv because we have an iser kailel. When the iser nevela is chal, we say that since the iser is chal on the meat, it should also be chal on the gid. And since this is an iser chamer, where there is a iser hana as well, and it's an iser kaila, so we say iser is chal al iser. The Gemara says if Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos, and a person did a malacha b'shaygig, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he's chayev for both. In other words, we say iser chal al iser, since it's an iser kaila. Rabbi Akiva says he's only chayev for one, since ain iser chal al iser. Really, the Isra of Yid HaNasha wasn't given to Klal Yisrael until Har Sinai, but when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah then, he put it in the context of the reason of the Isra, i.e. by Yaakov Avinu. Finally, the Isra of Evim and Achai, according to Rabbi Yehuda, applies to Tahirim, Tameim, Behemus, Chayas, and Oif. But the Chacham say it does not apply to Tameim. Daf Kuf Beis. The Isra of Evim and Achai says you cannot eat any part of an animal which is alive, and it is an Isra Chomer, because it applies to the Bnei Noach as well. Although there was a machlekes by Yisraelim, if the Isra of Evrim and Achai applies on Temeim, by Bnei Noach it applies to both Tahirim and Temeim, since regular Basar Temea is Mutter for him. If Yisrael eats Evrim and Achai by a Behema Temea, he is not Chayev Malkus, and the Chiyev on a Tahira is only if a person eats at least a Kezias. Daf Kuf Gimel. If someone eats Chelev from a Terefa, which is also a Chaya, so there's three Isurim, and it's a machlekes how many punishments the person gets. If a person takes a kezayis of Evrim and Achai, and before he eats it, he splits it into two, and then he eats one half at a time, normally by other Isurim we say that the two halves are mitzdarif if they're eaten within the time of kedei achilas pras. But by Evrim and Achai, Rabbi Yechanan says potter. However, if he split it into half while it was in his mouth, Rabbi Yechanan says chayev, Reish Lakish says potter. Finally, if someone eats a chatzizayis, and it came up from his stomach, and then he ate a different chatzizayis, in that case we would say he's chayev. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the eighth parak, parak ches kol habasar. As background, there are three different psukim which refer to the iser of basar b'chalaf. All of these have the same words in the Torah, le'sevashel gedi b'chalayev imay. One pasuk tells you that bishel of basar b'chalaf is asar. One tells you that achila of basar b'cholav is aser, and one tells you that having hana from basar b'cholav, that's also aser. And the Mishnah says, all kinds of meat are forbidden to be cooked with milk, except for the meat of dogim, of fish, and grasshoppers, because these aren't really meat. and except for these two, it is also to put meat on the same table as milk or cheese, since they may touch each other. And if one makes a neder not to eat basar, he can still eat fish and grasshoppers, since when people say meat, lashon b'nei adam is only referring to fleishiga meat from an animal, not from fish or from grasshoppers.